everyone. I'm Alyssa Espinoza, the managing editor of Turbo Machinery International. And today I'm speaking with Scott Deniel, a water resources engineer at Oak Ridge National Lab in Tennessee. So we're going to dive into the lab's current research projects in the turbo machinery space and talk a bit about trends and advancements in hydropower and pump storage hydropower technology. So thank you, Scott, for joining. I am excited to hear what you're working on and how this area is advancing.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Alyssa. I appreciate you inviting me to talk and look forward to chatting here.
So can you just start by telling us a little bit about Oak Ridge National Laboratory and what new research specific to turbo machinery that you're working on?
Sure. Yeah. So Oak Ridge National Laboratory is actually the largest multi-program science and technology laboratory in the U.S. It's managed by UT Patel, but is owned by the U.S. Department of Energy. And so as part of my research, I do a lot of work for hydropower. And so the research and development that I do touches a lot of different things. We look at grid integration, markets, reliability, performance, hydrology and hydraulics, water management, biodiversity, and ecosystem science. But along with that, you know, we look at technology advancement as well. And some of that is relevant to the turbo machinery that's of interest to talk about today.
So what recent advancements have you seen in turbo machinery that's used in hydropower technology and pump storage hydropower?
Sure. Yeah. So conventional hydropower, a lot of that, you know, what we would speak to, you know, that the age of the big dams is over. You know, so a lot of what we're looking at is retrofitting existing dams, or, you know, sort of replacing units or adding new units to existing dams. And there's also an area looking at canals and conduits as well. So some of the advancements that I've seen is really geared toward the existing infrastructure that's largely low head or low pressure potential. And so, you know, it's a little bit different design that is used to capture that design point. And so low head is definitely one area. Another is modular technologies and standard technologies. Conventionally, a lot of turbines, for instance, are sort of custom built. And so the ability to have a standard design that, you know, sort of could be plug and play has been an interest. We've had some research actually over the past 10 years related to that, working with industry on advancing their concepts as well. For pump storage, I could refer you to a report from some of my friends at Argonne National Laboratory. They've done some really great documentation of some innovations. A lot of it's conceptual for pump storage, but some cool innovations there, which I could run through. But by and large, I just want to mention for pump storage, there has been no new pump storage since 2012. And even with that, that was a very small project. And so since the mid-90s, there really haven't been much of anything in terms of new pump storage, but there is a great demand for it.
Interesting. So in terms of advancements, you mentioned two major things, modular technology and low head. So can you kind of dive into those more and maybe any trends on an overall level in the industry?
Sure. Yeah, no, that's great. So I think, you know, to answer maybe the low head question, a lot of the existing and older hydropower plants used higher head technology. And so for low head, it's just a different type of turbine, you know, like a bulb design or a Kaplan design work better for those low head than a Francis or a Pelton turbine. So, but those are relatively established technologies, but getting down below 20 feet of head is really a challenge. And so we see a lot of smaller companies trying to innovate in that space. There's a lot of different examples there. And then from the modular standpoint, the idea there is trying to capitalize on the existing infrastructure that I mentioned. There's 90,000 dams in the U.S., over 90,000. There's 90,000 that are documented. Only 3% of those are hydropower dams. So there's an incredible amount of existing dams in the U.S. that could be tapped for hydro. You could look at each of those and say whether or not they really are suitable, but we've seen thousands that really could be easily tapped. And so a lot of those too are even at federal facilities. And some of these dam designs are sort of standard in nature, where just being able to come up with a single design, you could sort of plug in with the existing water conveyances, right? There's pipes or spillways or different water conveyances that could be tapped to just convey that water through a turbine. And so modular designs are of interest. You know, we've worked with 4 different companies on our standard modular hydropower project to advance modular concepts. And so of those, you know, 2 were related to fish passage, 1 was related to sediment passage, but 1 was actually Natel Energy. They're a small turbine manufacturer. They focused in on is fish-friendly technology for generating hydropower, and it's actually, they've called it the fish-safe turbine. And so we've worked with them. They've worked with a lot of different companies and have had success in deploying that both in the U.S. and internationally. But the idea there is they're able to pass fish through a high-speed, high-rotation turbo machine without mortality, with success of passing fish 98% to 100% safely. And that's really a game changer in the industry.
So have they placed that turbine anywhere yet? Meaning, is it in use currently?
It is. I don't have a list of all the sites, but they actually have a canal out in, I believe it's Oregon. It's on sort of on the West Coast, where they've been testing different technologies as they've evolved over the years. They've had several different designs, but if you were to go to their website, there's a lot of great information about their studies. They put out white papers about their studies. This specific turbine, for instance, they've just recently published a white paper about how the blunt sort of fat, they would call a fat leading edge of the blade, it's really what's responsible for keeping the fish safe, but it also is abrasion resistant. So when you get sediment within the water flow, it can also reduce wear and tear on the machine as well. So that's just one example. There's so many different companies that are innovating in this space. That's one good example of a modular technology. It came out of this standard modular hydro program that we had led for 10 years.
And then you had mentioned that only 3% of the dams are in use for hydropower. So is there an overall reason why that's true? I mean, of the ones that you said could be redesigned to work with hydropower, is it an issue of cost or access or?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, historically, a lot of dams are actually just really old. On average, I think they're somewhere on the average age is somewhere in the range of 70 years or so. And so a lot of the dams in the country were not built with hydropower generation in mind. They were built for flood control or navigation or recreation or water supply or other purposes in mind. And so, you know, when we think about hydro, we think of these big, large dams like Hoover Dam, right? That's the one most people think about. But you know, a lot of these dams just had other purposes, but there's a large number of them that, you know, we've identified as being a little bit higher head, right? But also high flow, meaning the amount of water that passes through. And so, you know, the greatest opportunity, or maybe the highest potential economically, is if you're able to identify a site that's, you know, on the higher head or higher pressure is what I mean there. And also high flow volume side, where, you know, those two are basically what contribute to that amount of power that gets generated from the system. And so, you know, with the higher power potential, you also get better economics out of it. So, yeah, to your point of economics, there's definitely, that's a factor in why some of them are not, but it'll, you know, why they're not hydropower plants right now. But, you know, for sure, as decision makers are considering, there's a lot of factors going on in terms of competition with other power generation potential, you know, looking at wind and solar. But, you know, a lot of ways we look at hydropower, and you mentioned pump storage as well, as complementing you know, variable generation from wind and solar, for instance, that have continued to take off. And, you know, hydro and pump storage are inherently more reliable. They generate, you know, 24/7 for the most part.
Is there anything that you're really excited about in the space, or anything that you want to highlight about the lab's research, or, you know, the industry?
In terms of the industry itself, I just want to mention, you know, hydropower has been around for, you know, 150 years at this point, roughly. And so it's a old industry. I think the preconception is that it's old and it's mature and we already know everything, but that's not true. We know there's a lot of opportunities, especially to complement new generation with environmental compatibility to make sure we're doing things in a sustainable manner. So just want to mention that about hydro. I think what's really exciting is watching the next workforce. I've had the opportunity to work with students, work with teachers, some interns here at the lab, and it's really cool to see them learn about hydro for the first time and see this engineering discipline that sort of sits in between two really important resources, right? It's water and electricity, and both of those are really essential to you know, civilization as a whole and advanced societies, right? So I think that's really cool. And then I think as a whole, just working at Oak Ridge National Lab, we have somewhere in the order of 7,000 employees, and it's got wide-spanning capabilities. We touch on 24 of the 25 core capabilities that the Department of Energy defines. Been here for 12 years now, and so it's really great. I get to work on different challenges, you know, every day, and it changes year to year.
7,000, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. And we came, you know, the lab sort of started back in the 40s as part of the Manhattan Project during World War II. So it's got a legacy of, you know, material science and nuclear research as well. I wanted to highlight advanced manufacturing and material science. So, you know, that's sort of a legacy capability that we've had at the lab is material science. And today we've been able to work heavily leveraging the Department of Energy's manufacturing demonstration facility. It's a user facility here in Knoxville, just outside of the Oak Ridge area, but it's managed by the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. But what we've been able to do with the hydropower space is collaborate with the MDF, right, the Manufacturing Demonstration Facility, MDF staff, who are experts in advanced manufacturing materials. And so this is sort of an evolving space where technology continues to advance. And so, you know, we've got this hydropower technical collaboration program in place where, you know, industry, largely we're targeting technology developers, can come to us at the lab and say, hey, we have this concept and we'd like to see, you know, if there are opportunities to advance the concept, make it, you know, quicker to develop or more cost effective or both by using advanced manufacturing or new materials. And so that's a great program. It's a little bit smaller, but there's also this project that we're working on in collaboration with a number of people, including Voith Hydro, who's one of the largest turbine manufacturers for hydropower, along with Tennessee Valley Authority, TVA, and other entities, like a number of organizations on the team. But that project's really cool. It's called Rapid Runners, and it's looking to use metal additive manufacturing to manufacture Francis turbines that are inherently very complex in nature. And so basically 3D print using metal to build these really sophisticated turbo machines, and starting out with a 0.4 meter diameter design and then increasing to a 1.5 meter and then eventually a 4.3 meter. So you're talking about a ton of metal that's being deposited to build these machines, and the goal there is to do it much more quickly to demonstrate that you can do this very quick, but also at a at a cost-effective point where it's not significantly more expensive and could even be cheaper. So it's a cool space. That project's really exciting. It's got a lot of attention. So.
Yeah, I've done some interviews and podcasts and such on additive manufacturing in the turbo machinery space. It's largely used for, you know, like components and auxiliary parts, but it is fascinating. And I do agree with your earlier point too, that hydropower itself is fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I share this perspective. So thanks for saying that.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on today. This was very insightful, and it's exciting to hear about these projects and what people are doing, you know, as far as designing the new turbines and thinking about the environment. So thank you.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Alyssa. I appreciate that.
And thank you to our audience for tuning in today. Check out turbomachinerymag.com for more exclusive interviews. We will see you next time.